joy you come and sing what the Lord has laid on your heart.
That I'm going to sing is called In Better Hands Now, and it's one of my favorite songs. It's got a really good message behind it. In fact, if you're ever taking your finals in college, this is a great song to listen to because it can be very stressful. So Natalie Grant sings it. I can't sing like she can, but if you listen to the words, it's really got a good message. It's hard to stand on shifting sand. It's hard to shine in the shadows of the night. You can't be free if you don't reach for help. And you can't love if you don't love yourself. But there is hope when my faith runs out, 'cause I'm in better hands now. It's like the sun is shining when the rain is pouring down. It's like my soul is flying though my feet are on the ground. So take this heart of mine, there's no doubt, 'cause I'm in better hands now. I am strong, all because of you, and I stand in awe of every mountain that you move, for I am changed. Yesterday is gone, and I am safe from this moment on. There's no fear when the night comes round, 'cause I'm in better hands now. It's like the sun is shining when the rain is pouring down. It's like my soul is flying though my feet are on the ground. So take this heart of mine, there's no doubt, 'cause I'm in better hands now. It's like the sun is shining when the rain is pouring down. It's like my soul is flying though my feet are on the ground. It's like the world is silent though I know it isn't true. It's like the breath of Jesus is right here in this room. So take this heart of mine, there's no doubt, 'cause I'm in better hands now. 'Cause I'm in better hands now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How good He is to us. How great His grace is. I'm going to ask you today, if you would, to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ephesians. Looking in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and following. Joy paid me a great compliment Thursday. She called. I was working on my sermon. She asked how it was going. I said, I'm having a tough time. And she said, well, what are you preaching on? And I said, parenting. And she said, well, you ought to have that down by now. And, you know, you would think that. But, you know, the more I study these verses and I look at these truths, I have to admit it's very convicting. And it shows us things we wish we had have done, would have done better, spent a little more time on. And it also brings to the fact the matter that how important it is to bathe our children in prayer. You know, you have them as that infant, and it is a wonderful thing that God allows us to have children when we're young and we're innocent. I use the word innocent instead of ignorant because it sounds better. But, you know, if you knew everything that was ahead, you probably would pull away and go hollering somewhere and crying, because it's a struggle. And you never stop being a parent. You that are here that are in your 80s, you know that. You never stop being a parent. Never. And so I hope that we'll allow the Lord to speak to us and minister to us, encourage us and help us. I hope that you'll ask the Lord even now as we read these scriptures and pray that you'll say, Lord, will you help me right now just to push everything else out of my mind and let me learn what you want me to learn in this moment. Let me hear your voice. Allow you to speak to me and change me. And by faith, let's thank him for what he's going to do in our lives. Let's stand together as we read from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse number 1. Ephesians 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come and just ask, Lord, during this moment, that we would come with a teachable heart. Lord, there is so much room for growth, so much room, Lord, for us to improve in areas. And Father, I pray that we would hear and we would listen and we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Lord, even as Joy in that song saying that this would be one of those moments where we realize we're in better hands. And boy, it's like the very breath of Jesus is in this room. Father, speak, work, change us and mold us. May we be different because we've been in this place this day. And we give you all the praise and glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When a couple is married and they make that important decision to have children, there is no bigger decision that a couple makes than having children. Sometimes I think we get concerned about giving our children things, and we want them to have more than what we had, and we want them to have things that we didn't have. But I feel like we failed to give them some things that we did have, such as honor and respect and love and discipline. And I pray today that we would come with a teachable heart and just simply say, God, I want to be all that you want me to be. I mean, as a parent, I mean, I've already several times this week said, Lord, I see shortcomings and failures, and forgive me. And that children, as you look at this passage in youth, that you would see things and you'd allow the Lord to speak to your heart. Because He addresses both of us, children and parents. And boy, if both of us did what was given to us here in this scripture, our homes would just be a taste of heaven. They would be tremendous witness stations for the Lord Jesus. But notice, first of all, we look at these verses and we notice God's directives to children. God's directives to children. There are only two commands specifically given for children in all the Bible. And that is to obey your parents and honor your father and mother. Sounds pretty easy, don't it, youth? Just two things. Obey your parents and honor your father and mother. Now, and I want you to know this is very important in God's eyes. When you study the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are all about God. Having no other God before Him, making no graven image, not taking His name in vain, keeping His day holy. And then the fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. Now, try to catch that. God, 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 then mom and dad. Very serious. This thing of having respect and showing honor for our parents is very important. In fact, so important, and you can look these verses up later, but in Exodus 21, verse 15, it says, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Exodus 21, 17 says, "He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." That'd wipe out half of America, wouldn't it? I mean, do you see how important God raises respect of parents in His Word? To such a high level. God puts a lot of importance on a child's attitude toward their parents. What does God tell children to do? Notice, first of all, the first command is to obey your parents. The word obey here literally is made up of two words. It means to hear under. To hear under. Literally, God is saying this: children, get under the authority of your parents and listen. Well, that's a good command. Children, get under the authority of your parents and listen. You know, you go through the book of Proverbs, and time after time after time in the book of Proverbs, he writes and says, "Hear, O my son, give attention to my words, listen to my instructions." In fact, in Proverbs 1:8, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." I'm afraid that we've allowed the psychologists and psychiatrists of our day to convince us that discipline is wrong. And we have raised a generation of undisciplined, unruly, and disrespectful children. Nobody said amen to that. Do we not see that? Unruly, disrespectful, no understanding of authority. Parents, one of our tasks is to teach our children to obey. Teach our children to obey. Now, I'm going to give you some good advice, and it's up to you to take it. But if you have children, and you don't have a copy of the book Dare to Discipline by Dr. James Dobson, you ought to go out tomorrow and buy that book. That is a book that ought to come when your child was born. The hospital ought to have given it out to you. Dare to Discipline. How important it is for us to discipline our children. Here's another one. Parenting isn't for cowards. Or dealing confidently with the frustration of child rearing. Very good book. If you want to read it, you can come up here and get it after the service. Very important. But there's so much out there. There's so much truth available. Focus on the Family comes on 11 o'clock and 8:30 on WMIT every day. There's all this truth that's in front of us. The thing is that we have to put it to practice. Teach your children to listen to you and obey you. Teach them to listen. Listen, when they're young, they're little. I mean little, 2, 3. And you're saying, now, Johnny, come here. And Johnny looks at you and says, no. You don't have to say it two or three times or start yelling at Johnny, come here. No, just go up there and grab little Johnny. And take his little hand and hit that little hand. And say, Johnny, I said to come here. I'm not going to raise my voice and yell at you. But you are going to listen to me. What is that? It's discipline. It's discipline. Listen, sometimes going through Walmart and food line, I want to have some of these books in my hand and be passing them out. Dare to discipline. Teach them to listen. That's the only way they're going to learn to obey. That's the only way they're going to learn to submit to authority, is to teach them to listen, to obey. Why should children do that? The Bible says because it is spiritually right. Christian young people ought to obey their parents because they want to please the Lord. I'll move over here and say that. Christian young people ought to want to obey their parents because it pleases the Lord. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he says to obey your parents in all things because it is pleasing to the Lord. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? The truth that God lays in front of us. Obey your parents. Secondly, he says to honor your father and mother. The word honor is a beautiful word here. It means to highly esteem, to regard with the deepest respect. Listen, it literally means to respect, to show respect and awe of your parents. Now, I want you to know one of the failures we get into as parents is we try to be our children's friends. And I want you to please listen. They don't need you as their friend. They need you as their parent. They need you to be the one that says yes, and this is why. No, and this is why. And then when they're adults, they're going to love you. They're going to esteem you. They're going to praise you. They're going to write the best Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards you've ever seen. Why? Because you paid the price to be a godly parent. Teach them to honor, show honor to their elders, show honor to their grandparents, show honor to you as a parent. Youth, you better pay attention when you start dating to how that guy or girl treats their mother and father. Because that's how they're going to treat you one day. They're going to follow in that example. And when they're along with you, if they're saying, well, I hate my dad. Or I hate my mother. I hate the way they do this. You better mark it down. Because down the road, that's the way they're going to treat you. Learn that. Grasp that. Get it into your heart. Honoring parents goes beyond just the first 18 years of our life. Listen, it means as long as our parents live, we are to show them honor. In fact, Jesus, I believe it's in chapter 15 of Matthew, he told the Pharisees that they were doing wrong by dedicating their money to God and not helping their parents financially. You are under an obligation all of your life to honor your mother and your father. Show them honor. It's so important that we realize that. This honoring goes for all of our lives. Commit ourselves. Young people, listen, commit yourself. Say, God, I just want to be yours, and I want to realize that you have placed me in this home situation. I mean, one of the unchangeable things about life is who your parents are. God has placed you in your home. One of the reasons He placed you in that home was to mold you and make you who you're to become. Realize that. Humble yourself and be obedient to your parents. Honor your parents. But notice, let's look at the directives to parents. Notice what he says to us. Fathers, and here's a word that also is used for parents. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. Again, I'm afraid that we've allowed the world to greatly influence our thinking. I mean, even about children. There's a lot of couples today that look at getting married and say, we're not going to have any children. In fact, in the Bible, he gives one of the main reasons, if not the main reason for marriage, is for procreation. To have children. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. Are a blessing. Are a godly heritage. Folks, we need to re-Bible ourselves. We need to get God's understanding, God's truth, deep in our hearts. When God clearly tells us things, we need to write it down. We need to get it in our heart. A police department in Texas printed a leaflet on how to ruin your children. How to ruin your children. This is what they said. Begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. Secondly, when he picks up a bad word, laugh at him. Never give him any spiritual training. Let him wait until he is 21 and decide for himself. Is that not crazy? Do you know how many parents today said, and I just keep using Johnny's, Johnny, do you want to go to church? No, I don't want to go to church. Well, Johnny, you just roll over and keep sleeping. Now, how many of you think parents do that on Monday morning when it comes to school? Well, Johnny, do you want to go to school today? No, I don't want to go to school. Well, that's okay. You just stay uneducated. Do we have our values mixed up? Parents, have we made some mistakes? Fourthly, they said to avoid using the word wrong, it may develop a serious guilt complex. Fifthly, it says, pick up everything he leaves lying around. He will be experienced in throwing responsibility on everybody else. How to ruin a child. Ephesians 6:4 again says, parents, do not exasperate your children. Do not exasperate your children. Dr. Paul Meyer said that if we're going to raise our children to be loving, godly children, there's five things that are involved. The first is love. Unconditional love for our children. The second is discipline. The third is consistency. Both parents consistently enforcing the same rules. Fourth is healthy relationships. Well, let them see a healthy relationship between mom and dad. And fifth is headship. Be the head of the home. Men, that's directed at us. The majority of neurotics grow up in homes where the father was either absent or weak and the mother was domineering. Same thing's true with crime. Headship in the home. Men willing to stand up and be men in the home. I want you to know we have a crisis in America, and it's twofold. It's a crisis of morals, but it's also a crisis of fathers. Fathers. Fathers being absent from the home. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. The word provoke here, or in the NIV it uses the word exasperate. It has the idea of irritating or to make angry, and that anger becomes a settled attitude so that they have very little self-worth. They begin to think they can't do anything. Be careful about behaviors that destroy your child. What are some of those? Overprotection. Favoritism. Don't ever compare your child even with another child in the home. Or even with someone else's child. Well, if you'd have been like Steve Wisnett's son, don't do that. If you'd have been like his daughter, if you'd do like their child, don't do that. That beats our children down. Pushing for achievement. Keep pushing for achievement and not praising them for what they are accomplishing. Discouragement. Withdrawing love, neglect, cruel words, and punishment. Well, parents, it is important for us to examine our hearts and look at our words. Realize that God has given you your child as a gift and you have a short time to pour truth into their life. Very short time. And that every day is valuable. Every day is valuable. But notice he also says that as parents, we are to train them and instruct them in the Lord. Parenting involves training and instruction. In all of our words, we should have the goal of training and instructing our children. The word translated training here means to verbally instruct with a view to correct. Realize that we are all the time given instructions. Every day is a teachable day. Don't allow yourself to pull away from the parenting process, to get frustrated and give up. Say, I just give up. No. Every day. It's a new day. It's a training day. And then he uses the word instruction. Another translation uses discipline. And it has the idea of counsel in righteousness. You may know your child is not going to like what you're going to say. But I want you to know you better say it anyway. Because you may be the only voice for righteousness in their circle of influence. It is important. It is important to take time, teach our children, set values, set standards, show them in love, and reinforce that by saying, you know, this is what God would have us to do. This is what God. Realize that as a parent, you are a teacher. You're their main teacher. Their main teacher shouldn't be their school teacher. It ought to be their parent. Teach them. Here's four things we ought to make sure we teach our children. Teach them that they came from God. They came from God. We didn't create them. God created them. God has a purpose for their life. They came from God. Teach them to live grace-filled lives. Every time you have opportunity, talk about grace, God's amazing grace, that we're saved by grace, that all these good things that God brings into our life is a result of grace. So that they begin to seek God's grace and favor. Teach them to discern between good and evil. Well, when you see evil taking place, point it out. When you hear wrong, point it out. Expose it. And when you see good, expose it. Man, there, that was good. Did you see that? That was good that took place. Teach them to work. Teach them to work. From the time they're children, teach them the value of work. And not to work to please men, but to work to please God. To please God. Every job is valuable if it's done for the Lord. If it's done for His glory. Train our children. Realize how important it is, and this time that we have them is so short. So short. Really, when your children get in high school and get to be about 15 years old, you're going to find out, well, they're making their own decisions. You can't be there 24/7. I think it's good that Joy sang that song In Better Hands Now, because I tell you, if you've got a teenager, one of the best things you can do is release them from your hands and place them in God's hands. And say, you know what, I can't be there all the time, but God is with you every moment. Every moment. One father summed it up to his children this way. He said, if I could do it over, he said, my children are all grown, but if I could do it all over, I'd do this. I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would laugh with my children more at our mistakes and joys. I would listen more. I would be more honest about my own weaknesses. I would pray differently for my family. Instead of focusing on them, I would focus more on God changing me. I would do more with my children. I would do more encouraging and more praising. I would pay more attention to the little things and deeds and words of kindness and love. I would share God more intimately with my family. I would use every ordinary thing that happened in every ordinary day to point them to God. Well, that's good. You know what the problem is, folks? We only have one shot at being a parent. One shot. One time. This moment. This moment. And it passes so quickly. God wants us to have families that honor Him. Parents that lead their children to love God. That want to serve God. Children that have a heart that says, Mama, I want to do what you want me to do. Dad, I want to hear you and obey you. I want to honor you. I want to be like you. I think it's really neat to see a child want to do something that their parents been doing. Because I think that's a tremendous compliment. Well, I want to be like you. I want to do what you've been doing. But I wonder, as we examine our homes, as we put ourselves under the floodlight of God's truth and say, God, would you examine me as a parent? And youth, if you would pray this prayer, say, God, would you examine me as a child? Well, how are we doing? Are there some things that need to change? Parents, do we need to come and lead the way in this invitation and come to this altar and say, God, I've got to confess, I've made some mistakes. I've done some wrong things, said some wrong things. I need you. I realize I need you more than ever before. It's interesting, after this dealing with the family, that he goes on down in chapter 6, verse 10, and starts dealing with spiritual warfare. I think that's very appropriate. Because I want you to know, family life is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare. All of us, from children to parents to grandparents, it's a battle. And if you're not putting on the armor of God and you're not being spiritually prepared, you're going to do the wrong thing and you're going to say the wrong thing. Well, I'll never forget when I was young, 8 probably. I got mad at my mother. And we were painting our living room. And I was at a corner. And I wanted to go somewhere and they wouldn't let me go. And I was so mad. I And I said, I wish she was back at the hospital. Come around that corner. There she stood. I want you to know, I wanted to melt and go through the floor. I still regret that those words ever came out of my lips. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if we don't learn to let the Holy Spirit take control of our lives, as parents, you're going to say words that's going to damage your children. You're going to do things that'll hurt your child. As children, you're going to say things. You'll say, man, I wish I hadn't said that. Wish I could take it back. Listen, I wonder, you know, we could have a revival right here today. If we'd be willing to get right with God. If we'd come as parents and say, God, I've made mistakes. I want to make some things right. I want to make them right with you. And maybe you need to go to your child and say, child, I need you to forgive me. I've made some mistakes. And I want things to be right. I want to raise you in such a way that you're going to love God. You're going to live right. Maybe some of our youth here, you need to come to the altar. And you need to tell God, God, I'm sorry. I've been disobedient. I've been dishonoring. And maybe you need to go to your parents and say, will you forgive me? I need to make some things right. Could we do that today? Holy moment. In God's time. It's up to us. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you do forgive us. And sometimes the greatest battles are forgiving ourselves. And Father, I pray even now, Lord, that you would deal with hearts and lives. And Father, that you would help us as parents, that we'd get honest with you. And not try to act like we've got it all together, but be willing to confess our shortcomings, make things right, be obedient. And Lord, that our children and youth that are here, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Boy, how glorious it would be to hear testimonies about children who have changed, who parents are seeing the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Lord, I believe other families could be saved if just those here today would mean business with you. And Father, we ask now that we would listen, we'd let your Spirit draw us. Father, we'd be moved to be obedient to you. And Father, you've spoken, now let us act. May you be glorified is our prayer. Lord, there may be some today that need to come for salvation. They're missing Jesus. They're not able to do what they should do because they don't have you. Or there may be some that as a family, they need to make the decision to be a part of this church. They need to unite with this church and serve the Lord Jesus here. Father, you know every decision that ought to be made. Help us, Father, to make them. Help us today to bring glory to your name. And we thank you for all that you're going to do, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tracy, what number are we going to sing? Hymn number 311. Listen, if the Spirit of God's been speaking to your heart, you've heard His voice, boy, maybe you need to come immediately. You don't need a book because you know you ought to come today. Will you come? Let's stand together as we sing, You Come.